All set to start.
All right, sounds good. All right, so first of all, good morning, everyone, and welcome to this year's Statewide Committee of Blind Vendors annual meeting, conducted today, Thursday, September 24th, 9 to noon. Obviously, noon could potentially be record-breaking in meeting times, but, you know, I wanted to lock in enough time to ensure that we get through some of these heavy topics, and I'm sure people have concerns and so forth, so I just wanted to clear out enough space for that. So with that being said, I welcome you all to this meeting. And before we start, a couple things. Thank you all who are in attendance, but also I want to thank everybody on this call for your congratulatory remarks to myself. Obviously, a major change is not only in the way we do business during COVID, is also under the leadership in which we now are doing it under. So, you know, obviously, I have to acknowledge that we've just, you know, lost 33 years of leadership in the program, and I've been fortunate enough to follow those footsteps. So I am very appreciative of everyone who has reached out. Had I not been able to respond back, so forth, it means a lot. So thank you all. You know, also when we talk about welcome, you know, I think it's important that during this time, we understand, you know, having the knowledge and the eagerness to stay afloat of what's going on around you, to me, is equally as important as to the responsibility in managing your business, right? So ultimately, these calls, in which are annual, are important to be part of because it surrounds your business. It surrounds this program, and it's information that I believe is of many value on all fronts, especially as we look to resume operations. So again, thank you. Before I do attendance, I do want to just make one acknowledgement that was not posted on the agenda, and that is our Commissioner Porter will be calling in shortly and to just have some words with everyone. Chairman Roberts had requested if the commissioner could potentially join the call, and she was more than happy to be able to just, you know, chime in and say a few words and just acknowledge, I think, mainly that she knows what's going on and let her speak to us all to that level. So she will be joining us shortly. So that's one thing that's not on the agenda. So with that being said, again, like I said, to stick to the agenda, I'm going to move right into the attendance. Unless Chairman Frank, do you have any words to say before the attendance?
No, I'll chime in afterward.
Okay. All right. So moving right along, right into the attendance, I will start with our administration. Director Brian Sigman.
I am present.
Okay. Tracy Morin.
Good morning.
All right. Nick Fienza.
Present.
David Walsh.
Good morning.
Joel Garcia.
Good morning.
Jesse Toll.
Good morning.
All right. Top of the morning to you all. Commissioner Porter, if you happen to be on.
I am.
Ah, good morning. All right. So moving on into the operators. Brandy Altergut.
I'm here.
All right. Jeremy Bailey.
Yeah.
Okay. Rich Baccio?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Ken Clark? Okay. Charles Cody?
Hey, yeah.
All right. Jasmarie DeJesus? Keith DeLeo?
Here.
Yolanda Doak?
Here.
Adam Fairbanks?
Here.
Chad Farr?
Present.
Amos Fatorma?
Here.
Carmela Ferreira?
Here.
Tony Ford? Keith Haley?
I'm here.
Michael Heaney? Gwendolyn Hernandez?
Yeah.
Stephen Hillier? Kelly McDermott?
Here.
Barbara Miller?
Here.
Lloyd Mathieu? Dave Pelagi?
Good morning.
Sylvie Ramirez? Ken Ramsey? Ah, Ken's gone. Frank Roberts?
Here.
Helen Schrammick? Angel Torres?
I'm here.
Gigi Yanez Hamburger? All right. Beautiful. So we have a pretty good crowd. This is good. So with that being said, I would like to pass. Anybody just chime in that did not hear their name before I finish with the attendance. I heard two beeps come in. Any operator? Okay. All right. So at this time, I would like to again introduce our commissioner, Amy Porter, as she would like to speak to us all. Commissioner?
Good morning, everybody, and thanks, Cheryl, and congratulations once again. I know it's a big change for the program, and Ed offered so much to the program, and we are very excited about what you are going to be able to bring, and I'm sure the operators are thrilled as well. So I just wanted to take a minute. I know your chair had asked for me to join. I wish I could join for the whole meeting, but unfortunately, with the invite coming just this week, my calendar is fairly packed. But I did want to take a few minutes to be able to check in with all of you, one, from a human perspective, just to let you know that you are in my thoughts, and also checking in from an agency perspective on, you know, being able to offer support and trying to identify what it is that you need. So COVID obviously is very challenging for everybody, right? All of us. But for all of you, for your businesses, for your very livelihood, I know that it has been an incredible struggle, and I just wanted to make sure you knew that I was aware of that and that Brian and Tyrell are keeping me in the loop on that. I am glad that you're still meeting, that you're still getting together, that you're doing some training to kind of, you know, look around to see what some of those pieces are that we can think about differently. And again, I'm interested to hear, we're changing the way that we do everything. We obviously, many people are working differently. The switch to remote work obviously had a huge impact on all of you. So interested in ideas of what we need to be thinking about and how we need to be pivoting to really deal with this new normal. So again, I wish I could hear more of the conversation today. I thought I might stick around. It sounds like your chair is going to have a few comments. So my next meeting is at 9:30. So I thought I might stick around just for a few minutes to answer any questions or to hear any remarks that might be shared to start off the meeting. But just wanted to jump on with you for a few minutes and offer that support. So, Tyrell, I'll turn it back to you, and if there's any questions, like I said, I've got about 20 minutes where I can either answer questions or just sit and listen to the beginning of the meeting, and then I'll hop off for my next call.
Okay. So, with that being said, thank you, Commissioner. With that being said, does anyone have any questions that you feel may be above the level of me or Brian, in which maybe you want to look at from a larger overview? You know, I would say now is certainly the time to pose those questions. You know, there's no such thing as a bad question, so I don't want anyone to, you know, feel uncomfortable with any question being asked. I mean, now's the time. This is the purpose of our meeting, so certainly feel free to run that question. Does anyone have any questions for the commissioner?
I do. This is Brandy. I'm kind of curious as to, you said that you're aware of what of the situation that we're in. So you're aware that of the 20 operators, only 4 people are actually in business right now. Is there any plans that you know of you or the governor having to assist us in the fact that, you know, none of our businesses are going to be opening until January 2021 at the earliest? And many of us, some of us didn't qualify for unemployment or may not have qualified for unemployment benefits. And is there anything the governor has in plan to help, you know, the people that are helping and feeding the employees of the state of Connecticut?
Yeah, thank you for the question. I certainly understand it. I don't know that we have any particular plans that would be specific just to you, but there have been sort of the federal initiatives, the PPP loans, and I can, if there are particular issues where your group is like, we don't meet for these reasons, then I think that would be helpful information to gather for me, and I can bring that forward. Not even before going to the governor, I could bring it forward to a conversation with our Department of Economic and Community Development. They're the ones who are typically doing some of the, you know, the work around rebuilding and the long-term recovery for the state. So that would be helpful information to me, for me, would be for the programs that exist out there. What are the barriers for you in particular? So I'm happy to bring that forward.
One of the barriers actually that we face in our program is none of us are able to qualify for any PPE loans. Because of the program that we are a part of, we're invalidated from any PPE loans. So we actually don't have anything that we can fall back on other than the unemployment, and actually some people were not even able to fall back on that. So we're in a different spot than a lot of other business ventures in the state itself, because again, we can't qualify for the extra help that is out there. The program has tried to help us and has done some things to help us get by, but it's not really going to help us get to January. And with the fact that January looming, there's still many of us who are very afraid that when January comes, our sites are not going to open again because of the safety issues, which we're not arguing. We're just saying, like, how are we supposed to keep going on and staying in this program and keeping the program going if we don't have any assistance to do so, and we don't have any, you know, we don't fall into the other categories that many other businesses in the state of Connecticut fall into. Again, we can't get PPE. Some of us can't get in unemployment. And again, we run government sites, so we are less likely to be going back to work than many of these other places. And again, many of us are just concerned about what's going to happen in January, because all unemployment will run out in January as well. So what happens in January when our sites still aren't safe to return to? You know, many of us are looking at taking on other jobs for this time period because we need income.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if there's anything. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I definitely, I hear what you're saying, and what I'm saying right now is there's nothing specifically, but if that's a part of your meeting today where you're kind of working through those issues, then I think having something, for me to have something in my hand that says, these are the programs that are out there, and here's what, you know, here are the barriers and why we don't qualify, and here's the need. Something that quantifies that is what I would need to be able to move forward. And that may be something that, you know, either through the meeting today or some side work with Tyrell and with Brian to be able to pull that together, that would be helpful information. And I can certainly circle back with them at the end of the meeting to kind of see how the discussions progress today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we can certainly take a look at that. And you know, obviously at this time we're also, you know, everyone's working or should be working with their Phil rep, and the Phil reps are trying to gather all information just to kind of see where everyone stands. And you know, obviously we have weekly conversations in which we collectively do recaps of each operator within the program to just kind of see where everyone stands. I've spoken to several of you off and we've worked through some issues even with the filing of unemployment and some of the benefits that are out there. So certainly, Brandy, you and I and you know, we can work through it. We can try to figure out and be sure that there isn't, that we're maximizing all of our opportunities out there, and that we're not missing anything. Shall we find that we're not, I'll be more than happy to you know, create those lists of concerns and then forward them to Brian, and then certainly Brian can forward them to the commissioner and you know, and as she stated, can present them to the appropriate parties for further review. So that's a good question, and certainly we'll double back on that. So
and I just want to say, the agency has
The agency has definitely helped and done a lot and has definitely been working with all of us. I wasn't trying to say that we haven't been getting help. I'm just, I guess, looking for more help because we're getting deeper into this, and many of us are getting deeper into debt. And again, that January line that we're all kind of sitting on right now is like a seesaw, and you don't know what's going to happen. And so I'm just trying to look at all options for all of us because it's a scary time.
Absolutely. Listen, I totally agree. You know, that, I think that's the number one thing that surrounds today. It's just that. It's the uncertainty. I don't think there's going to be any one individual who is going to be able to provide the answer that's going to be the fix-all. So certainly at this time, I think we just have to navigate the best we can through these times to ensure that we are maximizing those opportunities that are out there for us. So, you know, we'll get through it. You know, I'm positive. I've always stayed positive. Even in my darkest days, I still showed up with a smile. So, and I think energy is, you know, is transferable, and we just got to stay positive. We got to stay focused, and we got to stay patient. And I think we'll get through it. And we can't look too far ahead. I think that's the biggest issue, right? So ultimately, I think when we start looking so far ahead, that's when the anxiety builds. It's like, well, what about January? Well, we got to get to October. You know, like, we're literally working day by day, and things are literally changing day by day. So it's, you know, I don't want to say it's premature to think that far ahead, but in today's world, it is. And so let's just see what we have in front of us that offers the best opportunity. And I'd say, well, let's take that and run with it. So does anyone else have any questions for the commissioner? She has limited time. I want to be sure everyone's questions are answered.
No, but thank you for coming, Commissioner.
Okay. Right. Of course. Thank you for the invitation.
All right. Thank you very much, Commissioner. It's an honor to have you.
Yeah, once again, thank you, Commissioner Porter. So we're going to move right into, well, Chairman Roberts, you had asked to take over from this point. So I'll hand the floor over to you.
Yeah, anybody else that has chimed in late or didn't have their name called because they're calling from out of state, please announce yourselves at this time.
Yeah, Chad.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Randy Hout calling from Oregon. Thank you for the invitation.
Good morning, Randy, and thank you.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for coming. And we'll be introducing Nikki Geikos in a little while, so I'll get right to it. I wanted to thank everyone for coming today. You know, that it's a tough time right now, and you can't focus on things that aren't in our control, and hopefully today's meeting we can try and focus on things that we do have control of. And a year ago, I took the position as chairman, not because I felt like I'm comfortable in speaking to a group or not the sharpest tool in the shed, but then I got involved with the National Association of Blind Merchants, and I made lots of friends and learned a lot of stuff. If there's one thing that I can tell you that I've learned that I want everybody to hear, and that is, some people feel that the committee is just a hamster wheel. We get on the committee, we do our thing, and there's nothing much we can do. But I can tell you, the committee has power to make a difference. And whether it's pushing for changes in law or updating our regulations that haven't been updated since, I believe, the 70s or 80s, I think those are important things to do. We are very lucky to have Brian and Tyrell. There's been times that I've requested stuff and I get the no, then I go back, I do my homework, and you know what? It turns out to be a yes. So they're willing to work with us if you do the homework. There's lots of states out there that feel suppressed, but if you do your homework and bring it to them, I several times I thought, oh, Brian's going to hate me for this. And far from it. He just seemed appreciated to be corrected, and we moved on with it. With all that said, all that I've learned, for the first time, I want to re-up to be chairman. And Tyrell informed me about a month ago, oh, you're serving your fourth year of your term, so you have to take next year off. So, please, all I can do is plead with you. Take the committee seriously. I'm glad we have seven people that are applying to be on the committee. One person won't make it with the two alternates. So that's good, because previous years we were short on our alternate. So so now to get into that further and get you guys more familiar with the National Association of Blind Merchants, our first guest speaker is president of the organization, and I'd like to welcome Nikki Geikos.
Thank you, Frank, and thank you for everyone on the call. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, yes. Good morning. Thank you.
Okay, great. And Tyrell, congratulations, and I love your enthusiasm. I can't wait to work with you and meet with you and get together and talk about business and opportunity and stuff. So real quickly, I am the president of the National Association of Blind Merchants. I'm also sit on the State Employment and Training Commissioner for the Governor of New Jersey. I'm also past WIB chair in local WIB, Middlesex County Workforce Investment Board. And I am chairman of the committee in New Jersey, but that the greatest hat that I wear is that I am a licensed blind vendor in the state of New Jersey. So I feel your pain that we just heard about, our guys. I mean, I know that in New Jersey, we have seven out of our 41 that are working. And I can tell you that we are doing everything we can to try to help be involved in as many trainings and try to get information out to you. And I can give a plug that if you go to blindmerchants.org, that there's a number of the BLAST live trainings on there. Also about micro market training, they're on the website. Please, during this time of COVID, please listen to podcasts, do trainings, take courses, do whatever you can to, when we do get back to work, that we will be there. In the Chinese language, they do it by symbols, and the symbols for crisis are danger and opportunity. It is a dangerous time that we live in, but I think it's an opportunity for us to look for new opportunity and get involved in a lot of different things that maybe we haven't before. The restaurant business just put a thing out just a couple days ago that 100,000 restaurants will go out of business because of COVID, totally out of business. Also that I'm also on the board of NAMA. I sit on a number of polls that the vending industry is down between 65% and 70%. They said on a call the other day that they're giving up businesses. They're giving up vending opportunities because they just can't handle all of them, or they didn't make a lot of money to them. Well, wasn't a lot of opportunity to them, maybe something for us. There's nothing that says we can't get into the private sector. I run the largest post office in the United States with a Dunkin' Donuts, but I also run a number of LA fitness gyms and also some micro markets at the Bank of New York Mellon in the private sector. The opportunity there for LA Fitness Gyms is through the RSA Management Group, which I hope that you guys are members of, with a rebate program, and that is opportunity. So we're going to look for opportunities. We're going to continue to look. We're looking at landscaping opportunities on the highways. We're looking at janitorial contracts. We're looking for a number of things. So, and I know that Terry's going to speak after me. Usually we don't have both, but Frank asked us both to be on this call, so we did. And the first thing I really want to do is thank Frank Roberts for being the chair, working very hard. He partakes a lot more than a lot of people in Connecticut probably know, on a lot of calls, a lot of our trainings. And also, him, Frank, and his team were responsible for sitting on a phone call with us with Congressman DeLorio's office from Connecticut. And in the House Appropriations Bill, for the first time, there is $20 million for appropriations for COVID-19 relief for blind entrepreneurs. And we couldn't have done that without Frank and his team helping and being on the call with Congresswoman DeLorio. We are working now to get that done in the Senate. And we did have calls with Senator Graham's office and also Senator Blunt's office with blind entrepreneurs and with members of the NFB of that state. So we're hoping for that to get us some type of relief that will go to blind vendors because, as we talked about earlier on this call, boy, we need it, and we're working hard to make sure that we do. You know, one of the things prior to that was I want to talk a little bit, Frank asked me to talk about a little bit about history. And I always said that one thing that got me was the apathy of blind vendors prior to COVID. You know, you go to meetings and there wouldn't be everybody on the call, and I'm really glad that there's so many on this call. But I want to talk about working together, which I think is important, with state agencies. And Frank said it's gotten better with Brian. I've known Brian for a number of years. In Connecticut, I knew Ed for a number of years. And I know that they have their interest for blind vendors, but working together and building relationships and things. I want to tell you how important it is what blind vendors can do. Military dining, which is huge in the United States, which we have some of the largest military bases. We just got Fort Dix back, which is great news. We had lost that for 5 years. We just got Fort Sill back in Oklahoma. We are getting Fort Lee back in Virginia, looks like. So these are major opportunities. But I want to tell you that who was it that, was it the state agencies? And that this is not that, I work with state agencies. I'm not here bad enough. I'm just trying to bring up some history. But military dining, when it first came out, it was offered to the state of Louisiana. The state of Louisiana said that's something that we can't do. And there's a number of blind vendors that met together and actually formed a nominee to run the first military dining facility in the United States. And once they found out that that could be done, the state of Louisiana decided to take it, and Barksdale Air Force Base became the first military dining facility for a blind vendor. But it was blind vendors that got behind it and moved it. You know, we have some relationships, and many of us, we have seven in New Jersey. We have, I think, 14 or 18 throughout the United States with Dunkin' Donuts, with Subways, with Chick-fil-A's. Those were blind vendors, again, that brought that to state agencies and said, hey, why can't we do this? You know, we always heard Rule 110 and Rule 111 from state agencies. Well, we've never done that before. That's not the way we do things. And we went and we worked and we built a relationship and we talked and we said, why can't we? We do military dining. Why can't we use that as a subcontractor? And for 17 years, Dunkin' Donuts has been my subcontractor, my coffee and my post office, still doing, even though in COVID, $600,000 a year in sales. And we do the vending, and we're responsible for the Dunkin' Donuts, but it's something that blind vendors brought to the table, working for new things. Rebates. You know, for years and years, we worked on trying to get rebates, and it became political. Well, who is that going to NFB? Is that going to ACB? Who's getting that? Why are you involved in it? Well, we finally got it together, and almost last year, 2019, almost $3 million came back to blind vendors for a buying group. And it's something that we are proud of. We're putting money back for buying the same company, you know, same products that we've been buying for years. But that's coming back to us, and that was blind vendors again getting together and doing that. Pricing for Coke, Pepsi, we worked hard for blind vendors to work, and some state agencies and some states work with us to do that, to get better pricing for Coke and Pepsi. Some have been very successful in Georgia, North Carolina, West Virginia, and others, but you know, we hold the same pricing and we work together as a group. It's so important. If you go into a room and you sit down with Coke and Pepsi and say, we represent the blind of Connecticut, this is the price we want, and start talking to them about building that relationship and try to work on Pepsi. The 74 amendments to the Randall Shepard Act was brought by consumer groups, not state agencies, but by consumer groups. That brought what? The Committee of Blind Vendors. Wasn't in the law until 1974, and also brought cafeterias into the fold in then. So very important to be involved, you know, and I thank you for being on this call, but so many other things. BLAST, the top training opportunity for blind entrepreneurs and state agencies throughout the country, was something that was the impact of the National Association of Blind Merchants. It was brought by blind vendors. Blind vendors helped put the agenda together. We helped put this together. We helped put the trade show together. We want to show that we are part of the team and not just blind guys. We are more than blind entrepreneurs, and we do that. You know, we build relationships, you know, with NAMA. Brandy talked about, well, we don't get things that other people get. Well, you need to get involved with your local NAMA, your National Restaurant Association, your state restaurant association, because they're out there fighting for a lot of things that we're fighting for, inventory, money. And if you're part of that, that helps you that you're at the table at least. We've done a great job of joining local NAMA boards. I know Randy's on the board in Oregon, Melissa's on the board in Tennessee, Max is on the board in Connecticut, Gary was on the board, Yvonne now in New York, I'm on the tri-state NAMA board. It's very important to get involved with those things to show that, you know, we are blind entrepreneurs, that we're facing the same things that they are, looking for opportunities, looking for these things. It's so important to do that, to get involved. When they come up and they need help, and they need our help, we need their help also. You know, the Hadley training program was brought together by, again, blind vendors who said, we need training. Why can't we do this? You can get a degree online. You can get a PhD online. You get a master's degree online. Why can't you get Randall Shepherd training? You know, and then again, together with our relationships and our partnerships with state agencies, we came up with that, and we did that. So I think the short time I have with you today is stay strong. We are thinking of you. I think of you guys all the time as I talk to our blind entrepreneurs in New Jersey and throughout this country. There's a lot of things that we want to do. What is the future? We're planning to put together some leadership trainings coming up at the end of October. We are going to do a training on history and what is Randall Shepherd about. FOIA requests, filing grievances, working with state agencies, what is active participation? We're hoping that some type of definition comes out from RSA very soon on that, and that we can get that to states to work. Because, you know what, during COVID is more important time that we work together more than ever. It's tough for all of us. It's not easy. It's not easy for family life. It's not easy when you want to go grab your kids and hug them, or your friends, or that I even went to a funeral the other day, and just wearing masks and not being able to talk to people or hug people was very tough. So we think about these things. We know we want to get through it. We're going to try really to get through it. I thought about this the other day, about 1968. And I was a young kid, but 1968, we had the assassination of Martin Luther King. We had the assassination of Robert Kennedy. We had the Vietnam War. We had riots and protests. We had the protests at the Democratic Convention. But you know, in 1969, you know, miracles happened. The Mets won the World Series. The Jets won the Super Bowl. And we put a man on the moon. And living in this area, and you guys are just on the opposite side of New York than I am, we lived through Sandy. We lived through 9/11. We still face it every day. It was just the 19th anniversary of it just last week. And we learned from those things. We learned about security, how we got deliveries, how we got people got into our buildings. But you know what? This is different. And we're going to need really to work together. We're going to really need to stick together. We need to ask questions. We are available for you. The National Association of Blind Merchants, your committee, are here for you. You know, you can go to our website, blindmerchants.org. Frank has my contact information. You can call me or email me anytime. We will get back to you. We will have one of our, we have a great board of directors. We have somebody get back in touch with you. And in closing, I want to just quote from a BLAST with Business Leadership and Superior Training Conference from Jim Gashel, who said, "We say on behalf of the blind, we salute you." And I'm talking about you as blind entrepreneurs. "In business and in life, you are the finest example of success and tenacity. Because of you, the vision of Jennings Randolph and Morris Shepherd is still alive. For the blind of the present generation, and the generations to come, we thank you. Through your entrepreneurial spirit, you are changing what it means to be blind. And on behalf of myself, the National Association of Blind Merchants, our board, Terry Smith, who works with us, who's speaking next, I thank you for hanging in there. We will but get through this. We will. I don't know. You know, it's going to be tough. It will be tough. We said, we got to get through October and November. But let's work together. Let's stick together. Let's be active. Let's take courses. Let's read podcasts. Let's go online and look at the blasphemy things. Let's be on these calls. But more than ever, if you're down, call somebody. We'll be there for you. Thank you for your time. Thank you, Frank, for your hard work. Thank you, Brian, for your hard work. And guys, thank you as blind entrepreneurs for being on this call and for having this, you know, keeping. Just thank you. That's all I can say. Thank you.
Thank you, Nikki. Certainly a great update. Thank you for the history. And I certainly look forward to working with you, speaking with you, and one day meeting you because I think it's important. And like you stated, we have to get through this together, and I could not agree more. So thank you again for your time. With that being said, Chairman Roberts, would you like to continue?
Yeah, I'll continue, and I just want to add one thing to Nikki's, what Nikki had to say, and I mean, everything sounds great, being a part of the National Association of Blind Merchants, and all that, the dues to be a part of it, as from a personal standpoint, $10 a year. It's the best $10 I've spent. I highly recommend you go to the website and check things out. I mean, it ain't going to cost you to surf the web and look at all the trainings and all that. So check it out and become a member if you can.
Frank, real quickly, I just got an email that the award of Pearl Harbor just given to the state of Hawaii, and that's a DFA contract, and that is huge. Just got the email from Joe Blackstone. So the award of Pearl Harbor just went to the state agency of Hawaii. So again, a win for Randall Shepherd. Just got it as we were speaking. And in fact, real quickly, someday soon, if you guys would like to do a call at night or in the afternoon or whatever to talk about the National Association of Blind Merchants, just do a call and get caught up on some other things that we don't on this call, we would love to do that with you guys about our Social Security initiative, about other things. So thank you, and I'll listen to Terry and the rest of the call. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yep, and let's not cut Terry's time short. Let's get on to Terry Smith, who is also part of the same organization, and he's going to do a training for us.
Okay, thank you, Frank. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yep. Okay, good deal. So, first of all, thank you for inviting me to participate in your training. I want to give you just a quick, a little bit of details on the national update as far as what Nikki was talking about. And then I want to do an abbreviated version of the 10 characteristics of a highly effective BEP in the interest of time. I do want to say about Nikki. I mean, Nikki, when he introduced himself, he gave you the list of things he's involved in. The only thing that brings money to his house is the blind vendor. Everything else he said on the things that he does on a volunteer basis. Nikki is the hardest working volunteer I have ever known. And, you know, I get paid. I'm the hired help, as I say. But Nikki is strictly a volunteer, and you know, you don't see people with that kind of passion and commitment these days. So you need to understand that. Frank, I look back, I did not realize you and I just got acquainted 5 months ago. It was in April. I just looked up the email where Nikki sent me that you were the new committee chair up there. And so I've enjoyed getting to know you over those 5 months. Brian Sigmund, you know, I've known Brian since 1996. I knew him when he first took the job there. in Connecticut, and I was the director of services to the blind in Tennessee. Have enjoyed working with Brian through the National Council of State Agencies for the Blind over the years, and you know, he's a good guy and he really does care. Terrell and I have had a couple of good conversations. Really like Terrell, and you know, enjoy his enthusiasm. So you know, I think you guys are in very good hands up there. I just want to mention real quickly about the appropriation and the waivers we requested. As soon as the pandemic hit, Nikki wrote a letter to the Assistant Secretary of Education asking the Department of Education to offer flexibility to states in using federal funds to buy back inventory when these facilities reopen. We wrote the letter in March. We didn't think it was going to be this long, but we wanted the states to have the flexibility to use federal dollars to buy inventory when they open back up. We also asked for flexibility in allowing states to use federal dollars to provide a fair minimum return. Somebody's pounding on something there, I can't tell what it is. To offer a fair minimum return to blind vendors, so that they'd be guaranteed a certain level of income. Our response was that they weren't allowed to do that. And that they could only do it with congressional approval. We did not believe that was the case, but we did turn our attentions to Congress. We drafted up waiver language to be included in a relief bill, and that language is there. We pretty well have commitments from both the House and the Senate that if there is a comprehensive relief bill, that those waivers, that one of the two waivers will be in there. The waiver about inventory will probably be in there. The problem is that you follow the news, they can't get together on a relief bill, so we don't know whether there's going to be a relief bill. The other problem is they may agree on a very trimmed down relief bill and they won't include any waivers, and we could get caught that way. So we're still optimistic that there will be some sort of relief bill and that those waivers will be in there. We also worked with the Assistant Secretary in trying to get clarification on whether or not blind vendors could go back and get VR cases opened and get their inventory replenished that way. And we got some positive feedback on that after a couple of letters and conversations. And they did agree that blind vendors can qualify for VR services and under certain conditions can get inventory assistance. So that's, you know, that was a positive thing. On the $20 million, we asked for $35 million. And, you know, we got the... we were working, we had a lot of support, especially on the House side, so we were successful in getting a $20 million. They reduced it from 35 to 20, and you know, we owe a debt of gratitude because Congresswoman Lowe put that in there, and we had a call, and David Palagi, whatever your name is, David, is in her district. And you know, he participated on a call with us, and Frank did, and you know, with her staff, and that certainly helped us get that money appropriated. So you know, that was a big help, and I'll talk a little bit about that later. It's in the House Appropriations Bill, which is already passed. The Senate has not passed an appropriations bill, probably won't pass an appropriations bill until after election time now. They'll probably be on a continuing resolution, but when the appropriations bill finally does come around, we've been told we have a 99% chance of getting the same language in the Senate bill. So we will have some money out there you know, coming up, hopefully available to vendors by the first of the year for relief. It works out to about $11,000 per vendor. That doesn't mean it's going to be an $11,000 check cut to every vendor. That means that the state would get $11,000 per vendor, and it would be up to the agency and the committee to decide how to best spend that money to assist the blind vendors. blind vendors who are working don't need it. Blind vendors, we deliberately said, wrote the language so that it gave the states the flexibility to decide how to spend that money to best assist blind vendors. So that's a little bit more detail on what's happening with the appropriations and what's happening on the national level. Let me jump in. I mean, several years ago, I created a presentation called The 10 Characteristics of a Highly Effective BEP. I obviously plagiarized that title, but I came up with what I thought were 10 characteristics of a BEP that could lead to it being successful. Now, this does not mean that these are what you have to be the best BEP. I've got another presentation to do about being the best BEP. I'm in the process of developing a scorecard for the agencies. And when you're going to do that, you're going to look at things like income, you're going to look at things like growth, you're going to look at a lot of different factors before you end up saying who's got the best program. But this is 10 characteristics that I think are important for a state agency to be effective. And the first characteristic that I list is that the focus is on business and not blindness. Now, I understand that this is a program for the blind, but the focus of the program doesn't need to be on the blindness of the vending facility operators. They just happen to be blind, but they in this case they are business people who happen to be blind, and the program needs to operate in that manner. Now, the agency has a responsibility to get things in an accessible format and that kind of stuff. Yes, they certainly do. But if you spend all your time trying to, we're blind this and we're blind that, and they can't do this because they're blind, and you hear all these things about blindness, you're losing focus of what you should be focused on, because it should be on the business itself. What are you doing to have the absolute best vending facilities available that are as good or better than what's out there in the private sector? So what are you doing to focus on that business? What are you doing to focus on customer service? What are you doing to focus on training for your blind vendors to make sure that they've got the skills that they need to be successful? So you're looking at it from a business standpoint. The agency is not looking at it from running a welfare program. They're looking at your numbers, and they're looking at your net profit percentages are low. Why? So they help you. So they should be coaching you and mentoring you and helping you to get those profits up whenever they can. So you're focused on business. The second characteristic I talk about is there is a commitment to excellence throughout the organization. This is crucial because, it's very easy to just sit back and be satisfied and accept mediocrity. And if you're going to accept mediocrity, then the program will eventually die. We can never be okay with okay. We have to focus on excellence throughout the organization. And when I talk about throughout the organization, the SLA needs to be focused on being the best SLA it can be, being as supportive as it can be, being as creative as it can be. It needs to be focused on being the best SLA it can be. Your blind vendors need to be focused on excellence throughout the way they operate their vending facility, because it all starts with the vendor. Everything we do is built around the blind vendors, and they have to be focused on excellence, providing the highest quality food they can at the best prices they can, and provide go over and above when it comes to customer service and that sort of thing. It's very easy. We see it all the time, for vendors to fall into that. entitlement mentality. You know, I'm blind. I've got this because of the Randolph Shepherd Act. I have a priority. There's nothing they can do. And so they just do enough to get by. You know, we can't survive with people who are not, you know, if we don't have every vendor in this country that's focused on excellence and trying to run the best businesses they can. The third characteristic is strong leadership. When I talk about strong leadership, I'm talking about from the SLA, and I'm talking about from the committee of line vendors. You know, it does no good to have strong leaders on one side and not the other. You could have the best committee of line vendors in the country, but if you don't have good leadership on the SLA side, then good things aren't going to happen. Vice versa, you can have strong leadership on the SLA side, but if you have a weak committee of line vendors with no leadership, it's going to be a struggle to get things done and to be successful. You know, and leadership starts with every one of the blind vendors, but every one of you are leaders because you are the CEO of your business. And to be a CEO, you have to have leadership skills. You have to know how to lead your employees. And so you need to take it upon yourself. If you don't feel comfortable, if you don't feel you have the skills to be an effective leader, you need to go out and get those skills. Nikki mentioned we're going to be doing leadership training ourselves coming up in the next couple of months. There's all kinds of stuff out there online, so take it upon yourself to learn about how to be an effective leader. So number four is what I call a team approach and commitment to active participation.
Okay.
You know, you have to work together. And, you know, it is so frustrating to have to spend so much time, and I admit I spend a lot of my time dealing with issues, you know, between the agencies and the blind vendors where they're not working as a team. And, you know, that is very, very frustrating, and it's detrimental to the program. Because if you're not working as a team, you're not going to be able to move the needle and move the program forward because you're fighting over this and you're fighting over that. And you know, it takes your focus away from the things you need to be focused on. We talked about, you know, we talked about the business focus. We talked about focus on excellence. You know, you can't focus on those things if you do not have a team mentality. So it cannot be us versus them. Now, I'm not saying you can't have disagreements. There's clearly going to be disagreements between the committee and the agency. But you work through those disagreements in a professional manner. And you are solution-driven. You know, you don't have the agency saying, well, we have final authority and we're going to do what we want to do. That's not what the law says. You know, the law anticipates that this is going to be a partnership between the committee and the agency, and both sides have to be totally committed to that process. And that, you know, it's not a power play. It's not, I've got more power than you. It's a team approach. You have a shared vision for the program, and you work together to get there. The fifth characteristic is that the program is current with the times. I mean, it is, again, I talk about frustration. Sometimes I want to beat my head against the wall when I'm talking to a state and you know, you hear things like, well, we don't do micro markets. We don't do card readers, or credit card readers for our vending machines. We don't do this. We don't do that. And whenever the rest of the industry is just so far ahead, you know, these are the things that are commonplace in the rest of the industry. You need to be, we need to be current with the times. And, you know, I mentioned technology. You know, people don't, they're, I don't know what the situation in your state, so I don't want to, I may be, you know, I hope I'm not stepping on any toes here. But, you know, there are states that say, we will not buy credit card readers. And up until recently, there was one state saying you're not even allowed to put your credit card readers on our machines. But, you know, in today's world, people don't carry cash. I carried cash everywhere, but I'm old school and I carry cash. But today, if I walked up to a vending machine, chances are I would not be able to make a purchase if it did not have a credit card reader on it, because I usually don't carry that kind of small change anymore, because people don't do it. So if you don't have a credit card reader, then you're losing out. Telemetry equipment on your machine, so you can see what's selling. You can see what you need to take to reload the machines. You can see when your machine's out of order. Somebody doesn't have to call you and tell you something's wrong. You know something's wrong. Those are important. Micro markets. Micro markets concept, and I've said this many times, it's like somebody was sitting around in a room one day and they said, what can we do to help blind vendors around the country? And they go, what about micro markets? I mean, it is tailor-made for blind vendors to run micro markets. We need